Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, author Keisha Toni Russell will help us defend truth and freedom while there's still time. And then Micah Van Hus and Mac Dominic will preview our Mysteries of the Bible Verse conference that starts this Friday. Hard to believe, but we are just 3 days away from our Mysteries of the Bible Verse conference, Friday and Saturday, June 13th and 14th in Carmel, Indiana. Uncover the hidden truths of Scripture and explore the mysteries your Sunday school teacher never mentioned. Who were the giants in the Bible? Are UFOs real? Do secret societies have biblical origins? And are we truly alone in the universe? Join us for an eye-opening journey into the unexplained, featuring top experts who bridge faith, prophecy, and history. Speakers include Derek and Sharon Gilbert, Carl Gallups, Mac Dominic, Michael Hoggard, and Micah Van Hus. Register today when you visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, or by calling 1-800-652-1144. VIP packages are available, and children 12 and under are free. Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 13th and 14th, this Friday and Saturday in Carmel, Indiana. We're visiting today with Keisha Toni Russell. She is the author of the brand new book, Uncommon Courage, Defending Truth and Freedom While There's Still Time. Keisha, welcome to Watchmen on the Wall.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so glad to have you. You're going to be with us today and tomorrow because the topic of not just freedom, but religious freedom is obviously very important to our audience as we have folks of Christian faith that are listening in every day. And before we get started on your book, though, there's a lot to go through. I'd like you to just take a couple minutes and introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a constitutional lawyer with First Liberty Institute. I've been there since 2017. Last year, I left for a little while to clerk for a Fifth Circuit judge, Judge Jim Ho. And prior to becoming a lawyer, I was a special education teacher in Atlanta Public Schools.
So how do you go from a special education teacher to lawyer to, I'm going to write this book about religious liberty and how Christians can be prepared and be ready to be engaged in the culture? How did we make that leap?
Well, I guess the simple word is advocacy. I mean, as a teacher, I was an advocate. As a lawyer, I'm an advocate. And I think God has really just developed my advocacy. And, you know, for me, it was a very natural progression, especially going from teaching to being a constitutional lawyer for First Liberty, because we do so much. We do a lot of education. We talk about the work that we do all the time. And for us, it's not just about the cases, but what the cases will demonstrate to the public about what the law really is. And, you know, for me, that's all encompassing for my gift as a teacher and as a lawyer. I think they're very complementary.
At the very beginning of your book, you say this: freedom is a central principle of Christianity, and that principle thrives in a culture that embraces the freedom of religion. What did you mean by that? Because that's pretty powerful.
Well, I mean that, you know, freedom is, obviously we know that it is for freedom that we have been set free, right? That's in the scriptures. So that's talking about spiritual freedom. But, you know, our call to spread the gospel and to help others become free, spiritually free, will thrive better when we're in a culture that isn't persecuting us for spreading the gospel, right? Now, we know the church often thrives in that condition, right? We can see what's going on in China, where a lot of Christians are persecuted, but that church is still growing. But at the same time, you know, it's definitely helpful to be in a culture where we're not persecuted, where we don't have to risk our lives to spread the gospel. And so that's what I mean by that statement, that we're in a better place if we are in a country that allows us the religious freedom to spread the gospel without penalty.
Okay, so then that leads me to the next question. In your opinion, how free are Christians in America to share their Christianity, their faith? How free are we?
There's definitely a lot of issues. I mean, we're not being physically persecuted, right? But we at First Liberty, we actually have a client right now who is convicted criminally for housing homeless people in his church, you know, during freezing temperatures, you know, letting these people come in overnight. And so there are issues, obviously, otherwise my work wouldn't be necessary at all. And so I think we have a long way to go, but a lot of it is because Christians really stay out of the conversation and we allow the world to dictate what happens. And so what we're trying to do at First Liberty is to kind of stand in that gap and to show people we're not only just representing our client, right? Like Coach Kennedy, which is probably one of our most famous cases and one that a lot of your listeners would know. Mm-hmm. So we're standing in the gap for him, right? We're representing him and protecting his right to go out on that football field after those high school football games and pray. But at the same time, we're also showing the world how powerful the Constitution really is, how much religious freedom we're supposed to have. And in fact, you may not even get to take part in that freedom if you're not willing to exercise it and further not willing to fight for it.
Well, now let's define the two things you just said. One, what is the religious freedom that we have in this country? And then two, how can we actively exercise it? Because I agree with you 100%. You have to know what you have, and then you have to actually do something with it. You have to exercise it. And you talk about this in your book, but could you just briefly help us understand, as Christian Americans, what kind of religious freedom do we have? And then how do we, practically speaking, how do we exercise that freedom that we do have?
So Christians have a lot of religious freedom. So the Free Exercise Clause in the First Amendment allows Christians to properly live out their faith every day. This is not just a provision that protects your ability to go to church, but it also protects your ability to be a Christian wherever you go. That includes at work. So for example, if you don't work on the Sabbath and your job wants you to work on the Sabbath, you should be able to submit a religious accommodation for that, and the job should do everything it can in order to accommodate you outside of some ridiculous actions. But if it can't accommodate you, it should. So that's just one example. People in schools, students, they have a lot of religious freedom as well. They can exercise their religious freedom in schools, in their conversations with their peers, in a way that obviously doesn't disrupt the school day, and just being very bold about that. They don't have to shy away from that in conversations in the classroom. So ultimately, the Free Exercise Clause allows you to be a Christian in your entire life, in your everyday life, everywhere you go and everything you do. It's not just about going to church on Sunday. The Establishment Clause, which has been, you know, perverted to try to ban Christians from being Christians in the public square, I think that has really caused damage to a lot of Christians who work for the government. But the Establishment Clause is only meant to prevent the government from producing an established church. That means making you obey, tithe, worship some God, whether you believe in it or not. Mm-hmm. So that's really the only thing the Establishment Clause is meant to do. But unfortunately, we're in a society that has used that provision to bludgeon the Free Exercise Clause. But the Supreme Court has said, even in our Coach Kennedy case, which came out in 2022, that those provisions are complementary. They do not have warring causes. They have complementary causes.
We're visiting with Keisha Toni Russell. She is an attorney with First Liberty. She is an advocate for true religious freedom and religious liberty here in America. She's also the author of the book, Uncommon Courage. And I want to encourage you guys to get a copy of this book, not really only for yourself, but for your family, maybe for your church and your Sunday school class. We've got a lot of homeschool families that tune in. You need a copy of this book. It's called Uncommon Courage. It's by today's guest, Keisha Toni Russell. You can get a copy by calling 1-800-652-1144. Let me give you that again, 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order it on our website. Simply visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com. And get a copy of Uncommon Courage by Keisha Toni Russell. Keisha, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air today. I have found that a lot of folks of the Christian faith are kind of taking a little time out, you know, a little breather, because Donald Trump is the president. He won the election. Religious freedom is good. We're all good. It's all good. Can we just take a breather, take a breath now, kind of relax a little bit? It's going to be okay, at least for the next 4 years. Are you sensing that out when you're out and about talking to folks of faith?
Occasionally. Now, I do talk to a lot of people who have sort of an activist mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are still in a position where they're ready to fight. But a lot of people have sort of, I think, relaxed a bit. But 4 years is not very long. And I think we came dangerously close to living in a society that was led by a Marxist. And that's very scary. And I think a lot of people should take that seriously. That what that means is we have a lot of work to do in terms of educating the public. And that includes the church. You know, a lot of Christians I know were ready to vote for someone who had no moral basis, in my opinion, and definitely would have been someone who would led to the destruction of our country. So we have lots of work to do. And like I said, 4 years is not that long. And I do think that even though the Democrats are kind of scrambling right now, they are going to get it together eventually, and we need to be ready when that happens.
Okay, so then that leads to folks that are like, okay, we need some action items. Right now, over this next 4 year period, what do we as Christians need to be doing to prepare, to be ready, and to engage the culture, not just wait for 4 years, but to engage the culture as it relates to religious liberty, religious freedom?
Well, this is a great question, and I feel like even people who, they're not lawyers, they're not politicians, they're not commentators, and so they're like, well, what can I do as a regular person? Well, you can take your sphere of influence very seriously. That means even if you're a stay-at-home mom and your sphere of influence is your children and your homeschool co-op and church and, you know, your extracurriculars, you take that sphere of influence very seriously and use it as a means of speaking truth whenever the topics come up, and you're not afraid of that. I think that it's so easy for us to say someone else will take care of it, right? Someone else will fight for our freedom. Someone else will stand up. But sometimes that someone is you. And I'll give you an example. I'm representing a teacher, 32-year veteran teacher, a grandma of five, and she teaches in Connecticut and is being persecuted right now because she keeps a tiny little cross in her workspace at her desk. And the school district said she can't keep that cross there. And she's standing up for it, even though it may cost her a lot. You know, she's close to retirement now. She's built a great reputation as a teacher. And she doesn't want to destroy all that just because the district is wrong. But she feels like God wants her to stand up. And I think it would be remiss of us not to realize that the other teachers are watching her stand up and her students are watching her stand up. So she's taking a stand for herself, but in the process, a lot of other people are watching her stand up for the Lord. And so we all have opportunities to do that, and we will all get opportunities to do that. Sometimes that's a conversation where everyone else disagrees with our opinion and we still state it, right? We still state what the biblical provisions say, and we're solid about it and we're convicted about it. But the other thing is you have to inform yourself. So that means you're reading the word, you're studying the word, but you're also at least generally understanding what's going on in policy and law and, you know, the kind of things that the Democrats and Republicans are trying to do, because you won't know what to vote for and against if you don't know what they're doing.
You talk in chapter 3 of your book about the evolution of tyranny. Are you talking about religious oppression and persecution tyranny, or are you just talking about political systems and political parties and that type of tyranny when you talk about the evolution of tyranny in your book?
I'm talking about the political evolution, and what I'm saying is that there is a way to take advantage of a vulnerable population. That tyrant who comes into a situation where the population has already been primed. And what I mean by that, there's certain ways to prime a population. One of those things is to make it taboo to speak against the culture, right? And we saw that happening in the last 5 to 10 years. To make it so that religious people have no voice, those voices are canceled, they can't speak, or they're just too afraid to speak. So free speech becomes an issue. You can't speak against the government. And then the other thing is that you divide people by doing that. You succeed in making it so if you want to persecute a certain population, you know other people aren't going to say anything because you've demonized that population for so long.
I was just taking it in. I was just listening because okay. It's just like, yeah. But to your point, people, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, and we could spend four programs talking about this, but we have encountered, I personally have encountered, and I would imagine you have as well, good-meaning, well-meaning believers in Jesus Christ who say, hey, politics, that needs to stay over there. My faith, it stays over here. Never the twain shall meet. They shall never intersect. I go to church on Sunday. Maybe I help the homeless shelter out, but I don't advocate. I don't get involved in politics. That's messy. You know, I just don't do that. Well, that sounds like, I mean, it doesn't to me, but I know to a lot of people, that sounds like that's the right tack to take. And yet, that's kind of what's gotten us in the trouble we're in as a country, isn't it? And as a culture.
Absolutely, it has. I mean, I'll just take the school system for an example. For so long, for many decades, once the schools were becoming very liberal, and a lot of Christian parents took their kids out of those public schools and put them in private schools. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with private schools, but the thing about it is once we abandoned the public schools, we left them to the liberals. And now we have a really big problem in those schools because 90% of students are going to those schools. And so when we ask ourselves, well, who in the world would vote for AOC or who in the world would vote for these Marxist beliefs? Well, they've been taught that in the public schools and we haven't been paying any attention. And now it's just so ridiculous that we have to, you know, kind of cover some ground and take that land back, take that territory back, meaning public education. And that's what's going on in the culture, too. If we stay out of it, there's no way we can infect the culture the way we're supposed to. The church should be the moral compass of society. But we can't do that if we're not saying anything, if we're not opening our mouths. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, a lot of Christians are waiting for someone else to do it. And that's just not good enough in this day and age. We've got to be more courageous. Furthermore, I don't know, the Bible is full of people who are constantly getting into conflicts with the government. Paul wrote, yes, that we should obey the governing authorities, but he also advocated for himself in Acts when he was being arrested and told them, hey, do you realize you're doing this to a Roman citizen? That's him using the law to advocate for himself. He obviously didn't stop preaching the word of God when he was told by the government to do that. So there are limits. We need to be very well versed in the word in order to see those limits sometimes if they're not just completely plain on the paper. But it's obvious that Christians are supposed to obey the government until the government is trying to usurp God's authority in their life.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a battle plan of how you can engage the culture and how you can truly and effectively exercise your religious freedom, this book is the roadmap for that. It's called Uncommon Courage, Defending Truth and Freedom While There's Still Time, and it is by Keisha Toni Russell, and she has been our guest today. She's going to be back with us next time to continue the conversation. We're going to talk about freedom of religion versus freedom of worship. We're going to talk about the incrementalism, but it can actually be a good thing. And we're going to talk about how to get people in your local church engaged in the process of exercising your religious freedom. All of that is coming up with Keisha on our next program. Keisha, thank you so much for being with us today. We'll talk to you again on our next program.
That's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, get a copy of Uncommon Courage today by visiting our website, swrc.com, or call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Uncommon Courage by Keisha Toni Russell. Now is the time to rise, equip yourself, influence your world, defend what matters most. To help us do that, I want to recommend the book Uncommon Courage, Defending Truth and Freedom While There's Still Time by today's guest, Keisha Toni Russell. In a nation on the brink of cultural upheaval, Uncommon Courage delivers a bold call to action for Christians who refuse to be silent. As tyranny quietly takes root through radical societal shifts, this compelling guide equips you to defend your freedoms without compromising your faith. This book exposes the strategies
threatening America's core values, religion, life, education, and truth itself. This book empowers you to speak truth in love, stand strong in the public square, and lead others with conviction and compassion. Order your copy of Uncommon Courage today. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Uncommon Courage at our website, swrc.com. Micah Van Hus and Mac Dominic are here to preview the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference taking place this Friday and Saturday.
Coming up very soon, June 13th and 14th in Carmel, Indiana, we are hosting the Mysteries of the Bible Verse, a awesome event where we are going to talk about God's mysteries and the mysteries of God's universe. We have a number of speakers coming to this year's Mysteries of the Bible Verse, including Derek Gilbert, Mac Dominic, Michael Hoggard, Sharon Gilbert, Carl Gallups, and myself, Micah Van Hus. But today we have with us Mac Dominic, and Mac is going to tell us about the two topics that he's going to be speaking on. Mac, how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing better than I deserve, Micah. How are you?
Doing better than I deserve as well. So Friday on the Mysteries of the Bible Verse, you'll be speaking about what topic on Friday, June 13th?
I'm actually speaking on the woman that rides the beast in Revelation 17 and 18. That is a subtopic that appears in my book, Cosmic Conflict, toward the end, because we are doing a history of Jerusalem and Babylon, as well as the future of Jerusalem and Babylon. So we're taking that subtopic and speaking on that for our first presentation.
Well, cool. Well, so how does the Harlot of Revelation 17, that'll be at 9 a.m., you'll actually be kicking off the conference. What do you want folks to take away from this topic, the Harlot of Revelation 17?
Basically, I believe that Christians in general have been taught this from a position that is not tenable with the entire context of Scripture. In the book Cosmic Conflict, we really start from the very beginning of the Bible with the Garden of Eden and go all the way to the destruction of Babylon and the New Jerusalem that you see right at the end in Revelation 21 and 22. I believe that, unfortunately, a lot of what people believe, and Christians in general believe, about Revelation 17 and 18 and Mystery Babylon and Babylon the Great is a lot of newspaper exegesis from the Protestant Reformation and in the current day, rather than the entire context of the Bible. So what we're trying to do is get a contextual view of what is actually going on with this vision that Apostle John saw in 17 and 18 of Revelation.
And that's going to be fascinating. One of the important points of the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event that we're putting on is not a lot of people talk about the mysteries of God's Word. And the question arises, where can you go to get biblically based teaching when you're talking about this kind of stuff? Well, folks, at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse, this is what we're doing. Mac just talked about the Harlot of Revelation 17, and he bases what he talks about in Scripture. Yeah, we get into conspiracy theories, we get into cryptic creatures, we get into UFOs, but we base this stuff on Scripture, and we look at the world and in these mysterious events through the lenses of Scripture. And so the Mysteries of the Bible Verse is the perfect place, if you're interested in the mysterious stuff of God's creation, to learn about it from a biblical perspective. Mac, you're also speaking for us on Saturday, June 14th, and your topic is your upcoming book. Tell us about that one.
That's correct. My upcoming book, The Old Gods Walk the Earth, is going to be a book that is actually a subject that several people have written on recently, but it's a little bit different because I was teaching about some of the gods, the names of the gods in the New Testament and the Old Testament in one of my Sunday school classes here recently. And there was a gentleman visiting in the class that said, well, I don't believe any of that. I don't believe that these gods were actually real, but they were just the imagination of primitive cultures. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people believe, even people in churches, because the churches have failed to teach the supernatural aspect of the Word of God. And it's very important to remember that if God is supernatural, if God is infinite, if God has all these attributes, you know, omnipresence, omnipotence, and the other attributes of God, then he is far superior to us. And the book that he gives us to let us learn of him also has to be interpreted from a supernatural perspective. So what we need to do is take what the Bible says, again, in context, and we need to interpret it supernaturally instead of trying to figure it out based on our limited four-dimensional world.
Absolutely. Mac Dominic will be talking about the old gods who walked the earth. As we like to say at Marginal Mysteries, there's a whole lot more truth to our mythologies than a lot of folks like to admit. Absolutely. And so again, we have a number of folks speaking for us, not only Mac Dominic and the two topics that he just talked about. We also have Derek Gilbert, who will be speaking on the gates of hell, Jesus' war against the giants. He will also be speaking on Enoch, the Essenes, and the Son of Man. We also have Michael Hoggard, who will be speaking on cryptic creatures and the UFO agenda.
We need to start looking at things the way God looks at them, and we need to adjust our thinking that in order to get everything that we possibly can gain about God and how he wants us to live and what he wants us to do from his word, and it has to be done in a supernatural context.
Absolutely. Folks, I look forward to seeing you at the Mysteries of the Bibleverse, June 13th and 14th in Carmel, Indiana. That's the greater Indianapolis area. And Mac, I look forward to seeing you there as well.
Absolutely.
Our featured resource today is the book, Uncommon Courage. Inside this compelling book, you'll learn how to recognize the warning signs of cultural decline and governmental overreach, confidently discuss today's toughest issues from a place of biblical clarity and constitutional authority, and you'll be able to inspire fellow believers to courageously engage culture while holding fast to God's Word. Whether you're a parent, pastor, student, or everyday believer, Uncommon Courage will prepare you to push back against cultural confusion with truth and grace. Order your copy of Uncommon Courage today and take your stand for faith and freedom. 1-800-652-1144 is the number to call and place your order. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Uncommon Courage, defending truth and freedom while there's still time. 1-800-652-1144. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. To learn more, visit our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com.